We are with an 83-year-old mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and retired school teacher, and an 82-year-old father, grandfather, retired businessman, and volunteer of the year. What year were you born, ma'am?
1941.
And what year were you born, sir?
42.
Where were you born specifically in Clay County?
On the hill. Same place I live now.
And you?
Just across from Frog Little.
Okay, tell us a little bit about here in Clay County and growing up, and tell us a little bit about your parents or your grandparents and so on. You can kind of just start with your parents.
Well, my daddy was in business, and my mother was a housewife, but she eventually worked in the business too. And we were fortunate to have our grandmothers, both grandmothers, living close to us, so we grew up with our grandparents.
What do you have to say about your grandparents? And did any of them, did they live with you later or any time in life? And
well, one lived with us later in life, and the other one lived just across the street, you might say. And
how was that, having your grandmother in the house with you?
Not too bad.
We always had somebody living with us.
Yeah.
It was our cousin that my mother and grandmother raised. Mm-hmm. And then it was grandmother. And then I think two different times, our uncle and his family lived with us. Mm-hmm. And so we grew up with our first cousins, spending a lot of time with them also. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, I remember Grandma's sister from Oklahoma came and lived with us for several months. And Mother had to put an extra bed up. She put it in the living room so everybody would have a place to sleep. The house was little.
Well, what did you all do for fun or that sort of thing?
Well, we got a bicycle one Christmas, and, you know, and rode that. And I will say we didn't. And after my grandma moved down close to across the road, see, I'd go out there and I'd steal a cigarette at the house and go out there and we'd go smoke. We'd go in the back room and smoke. And then when my other grandma moved down in the apartment, I'd go down there and smoke. Once I learned to smoke, I was about 6 or 7.
And I think it was chewing tobacco that he attempted.
Well, I do that too.
And
I didn't chew at that one grandma, just the other.
Yeah. she chewed. What did she chew?
King Bee.
King Bee.
But the other grandmother and grandfather, they were supposed to be watching us. Mother and Daddy were gone somewhere. And so got chewing tobacco, and he was in the yard, rolling in the yard. He was so sick. And Grandpa would sit on the porch and just smile. He thought it was funny. And then another time, Mother and Daddy were gone, and Grandpa and Grandma were supposed to be watching us. And Daddy always left the keys in the truck. So we get out, starts a truck, and we're making a circle around and around. And he veered out too far and hit the fence, made a dent in the truck. Grandpa never said a word, but when Daddy came home, he told him.
Right there, showed the truck, the fence, all that.
So it sounds like grandparents kind of let you do whatever you wanted to do.
And then relay the message.
The grandmother that lived with
us. They were proud
of
us.
Yeah, there you go.
We grand young.
Yeah, that's proud of you smoking. You can smoke if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So that sounds like frog level life was interesting.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Mm-hmm.
We made our own games. We would play what we call jail, I believe it was. And when Grandma would get sick, she'd be down for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we were always happy when that came about because we got to see our cousins every night. They'd have to come and see Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd play this game, jail.
Mm-hmm.
And one cousin was bigger and older than the rest of us, and he would grab us and throw us in jail in the cellar. And we would scream and carry on aside, but we made our own games.
Yeah.
And Mother wouldn't let us go fishing down at Goose Creek. You can't go down there till you learn to swim. And he slipped off and connected with the frog level bunch, and he learned to swim. But I never learned to swim. But we had a game, dry land fishing, we called it, where we used a hook and a pole and would get sticks and stuff.
Yeah. What about the pony? Was there not some ponytails of somebody down in the barn or something to that effect?
Oh, yeah, Champ.
Numerous.
The pony. We did all sorts of tricks on the pony. We'd jump out of the barn loft and onto the pony. Right?
Drop down.
Yeah.
Too high to jump down. He had to drop. You could, he'd stand right still and he'd drop down. We'd ride.
And you'd take off riding?
Yeah.
How'd you keep from breaking your legs?
Well, the pony had a break. Had been a mining pony and got his leg broke. And it rode back crooked, but that's what we had.
He would fly up that lane.
Mm-mm. Broke leg and all.
Right through the old pole. You know where the old pole? Right there at the end of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
The big old pole.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the lane was. And she's talking about that little curve he made right there.
Yeah. He would fly.
Yeah. Going to the barn, see?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get off, we get to the barn.
Yeah.
He's thinking. Leave him alone.
Phew.
He's small. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, what about... there's another story. It involves a picture, taking pictures of you all.
Oh, the picture that where I'm so unhappy.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Aunt Elsie took us to London, and she was having the cousin's picture made, and Mother was having our picture made. Well, I must have been about 3 or 3 1/2, and Brother was just little. He was so little, he was in a little romper, yellow romper. And he's a prancing down the street, and everybody was saying, oh, what a cute little boy. And that's making me mad, because they never said a thing about me.
You got the picture right here?
No, I don't have the picture around here, but we'll make sure
you
that yeah, we'll make sure we show that when we show the
it'll make
reveal.
It'll make it.
Yeah. They tried everything in they could think of. The guy photographer and Mother trying to get me to smile. No way. I was mad.
Well, tell us about, here's another one. Tell us about when you all would get in trouble and maybe get spanked.
Got to whip it up, Gary. I mean, up at Ann.
Mother would say, get you a switch and go get him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go.
Yeah.
And that went along pretty good for a while. And then he turned on me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So I didn't get to do that long, but I was always having to take care of him and the cousin too.
Just as soon as she cleared the door, opened the door and said, Mother, Jimmy got a
whipping. You got a whipping at school.
Yeah.
She'd tell on
him. Tell
him.
Couldn't hardly wait till she got there.
But what if you both got a spanking? Well,
oh, she never did get one.
I never got one at school.
Mm-hmm. What about at home?
My mother was always a slapping around, you know. But
you want to hear the truth on that?
Yeah. Absolutely. And go ahead and tell that one first.
That's quit being scared. That's tired. Mm-hmm. Well, first thing she's going to do is she's going to whip both of us. I'll be first, you know.
This is what I wanted to hear.
Well, she'd get you by the hand, and she'd stop. And before she hit the first lick, I'd stop being crying and praying going on.
Please, Mother.
Please, no. Please, Mother. A couple of licks, and I was loose.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say a word, no matter what happened. She'd never cry and pray and beg for mercy. Mother, be <dear. laughs>
Yeah, the more just tried to make
it. Yeah.
Well, that's and the truth.
It wouldn't happen.
She wouldn't do it. She showed how tough she was.
He was a smart one.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mother was easy if you get real pitiful.
Yeah.
But if you showed up,
that was it.
She got harder. She had that chattel in her.
Well, tell us about raising your own food.
Oh, Lord. Well, we had to help Mother in the garden. And that's why that I never did like gardening and never did raise a garden when I got out on my own, because we had to work so much in the garden at home. And old Champ, they'd hook him up to a plow and would lead him, and Mother'd plow the garden. So when that got done, Brother got to leave. And I would fuss and fume.
Go swimming with a frog little boy.
You'd leave and go swimming.
And I'd have to stay and help Mother hoe. And she'd say, well, go to the house. Of course, I never did. I always stayed and helped her. But I didn't like gardening.
What about when he got ready? Wouldn't he make the horse not do it right, in other words, and then she'd tell him to quit?
I don't remember that. He had to lead him.
Oh, okay.
She couldn't lead him. He wasn't too good on the line back there.
You'd have to get up there in front.
Have to lead him.
Yeah.
But you all pretty much raised everything. What all? Tell us something for the people now that go to the grocery store and get everything. What all did you all?
We had a cow. Mm-hmm. And Grandma, when she moved on the hill, she had a cow too. And she taught me to milk. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the greatest thing, to learn to milk. Well, Brother, he didn't learn to milk. So here again, they'd send me to milk by myself. Yeah. He didn't have to, see. So he outsmarted me.
And again. A lot of that type stuff when I was mowing yard and stuff, she got in the house. Supposed to be a clean house there.
Yeah.
Playing the piano and stuff.
We had to work, and they'd take us to the store. I know in the store downtown, Daddy gave us a fly swat, and he said, now kill flies, because they didn't have a screen door. Mm-hmm. It was just an open door. And we'd work like everything, killing those flies. And somebody'd come in, and Daddy would say, just look at that. They'd say, oh, you got some helpers. Oh, they're doing the best job. And it would tickle us to death that we'd work like Trojans, killing those flies.
But it just wanted
Daddy bragged on us.
Mother couldn't leave us at the house, we'd fight.
Oh, so just take one at a time.
Take one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mother couldn't leave us both at the house because Mama Brock couldn't do nothing when we were fighting.
And what else did you have? So you had a milk cow. You didn't know how to milk, but you did. Mm-hmm. What else did you have?
Had the pony. We had hogs.
Hogs.
And about 8 or 10 dogs.
Did you kill hogs and?
Well, we didn't kill that many.
No.
But you'd always have.
We always had them, you know. But everybody had hogs then.
Yeah.
Everybody had a family, had a hog pen. You had to raise you. If you where was you going to get any meat?
Yeah.
I mean, their forefathers before them, they all had hogs.
Yeah.
Some people kill their calves, but no, we didn't kill no calves. Mm-hmm. We sold that calf.
Mother would, she had more milk than we could use, even giving some to the grandparents who lived in the next house. And she sold milk and butter.
Take to the store.
Take to the store when Daddy was at Hymer. And people would be standing in line to get the milk and the butter.
And then when we went to, at school, we'd take an egg sandwich, or maybe a little piece of meat sandwich of some kind, a little piece of cake that she'd made or something, one of them little stack cake thing. Mm-hmm. And
always a fruit.
One of them little milks, regular milk, it's the house. Mm-hmm. And a little lunchbox. And here come them frog level people. They'd have Pepsis, Vines, crackers, and a little cake, bag of peanuts. I'd give my whole week's mm-hmm. milk and stuff
just
for that one Pepsi and that stuff. That's the best stuff ever.
But you all didn't get that.
Huh?
How'd they get theirs?
But Myrtle and those people.
They stopped at Pearlie's store and bought it.
Morning Glory, they stop at the store and get their lunch. Right.
Frog level over, are you? Stop Pearlie's.
Mm-hmm. But I can still smell that lunchbox to take the lid off.
Mm-hmm.
And at recess, morning recess, brother would usually get his fruit and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at lunch, he was around begging me for a bite. Give me a bite.
Show me how you used to look pitiful.
Huh?
Show me how you used to look pitiful.
How you used to look pitiful.
When you want some. She did good. She can do it.
That's terrible.
And we walked to school. I guess it's a good mile, isn't it?
Mile uphill, up there, and up back coming back uphill.
Huh.
And we walked the railroad. And
no, it wasn't.
And the people from Frog Level walked with us. And the teacher just lived across the road. So she'd walk with us. Rain or shine. I remember there was a big snow on the ground. And there was no such thing as, you know, canceling school.
Not working. Yeah.
We always had school. And, we wanted to go to school. Mm-hmm. So Mother got a shovel, and she walked in front of us and drug a path for us to get to school.
All the way to school?
All the way, a mile. And all them frog levels lined right up in that little path, man, up there we went. I could snow that deep, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty it deep. Was a big snow.
What school did you all go to?
We went to Add for 3 years.
Can you name some of your teachers?
Yeah.
Sally Stewart. She was the only one up there.
Mm.
But now, the first year we went, though, that was all 8 grades. It was a 2-room school. And, but then they closed one room and just had 3.
3 grades?
Yeah.
And they got the Horse Creek School built.
Mm-hmm.
Over there. And we, in that extra room, we get out in the fall of the year and get wood, burn the fire, start the fire with that winter.
So you had like a big pot belly stove.
We'd all be around it in the morning, be real cold, and then when the evening come against the wall, it was getting so hot.
Yeah. But somebody had to take care of putting wood in there.
Yeah, when they bought a batter, it made the fire.
Yeah.
But all the school got out and gathered wood that one evening.
That was always the fun day, as we'd go into the woods and gather sticks and twigs and stuff for the winter to start fires.
Hmm.
Well, now you taught, so I'm sure that you liked school. But what did you like school when you was in there?
Well, I didn't say I wouldn't like it.
Hey.
I didn't hate it, but, you know, I was really interested in looking at the girl, what I went for. Just to be honest.
When I started, he'd cry.
Cause I was too young to go.
He wanted to go too. So, mother and daddy talked to Sally, and she said, well, let him come.
The second year. Mm-hmm. So second year.
He was really just like 4 years old, because we started in July. Mm-hmm.
So he shouldn't have really gone, but but they let him go.
That really hurt me. I'm sure that hurt me
too early
in my educational career.
Too early. Especially for a boy.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because them guys in the primer was 2 and 3 years older than me. You know, they're way ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, speaking of friends, tell us who some of your friends were and if any of them had any nicknames or anything you called them. You can give us that too. Who were some of your good friends in early school we're talking about?
Bug Jarvis. Jamma Paris.
Okay.
He was from Frog Leg.
Was Jam Up a nickname?
Yeah.
That
Walter
was a nickname.
Was his name.
Oliver.
Walter.
Oh, Walter.
Walter was his name. They called him Jam Up.
And then Bug, that was a...
Bug Jarvis. His name was Tommy Jarvis Jr., but they called him Bug.
Bug.
Bug Jarvis. He had a brother named Willie. Mm-hmm. Willie stayed with him.
Maynard Harris was one of my friends. Myrtle Bundy.
Ralph Thompson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did he go with us to Front Loop? I mean, to...
Yeah, he went to Front Loop. Yes, he did.
So when we got to the fourth grade, we had to move.
Okay.
And they debated whether to take us to Horse Creek or to Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, Daddy was at a store in town. So it was going to take us to Manchester. Daddy went to the store, sent us on to the school. Nobody went with us.
So you walked on?
We walked on out to Manchester grade school. And I don't know how, somebody must have seen us standing over by ourselves or something. And so I tell a brother and cousin, Barbara, now when the recess, you stand right here in the hall. Don't you go anywhere. And they did. They stood right in the hall waiting on me.
You didn't get to go outside and play?
I don't know if we did or not, but I remember them be telling them, now you wait right here in the hall.
Well, can you imagine leaving Ed?
A two-room school.
And going to that big rock school, Manchester Grade School.
And by yourself.
I was up there the other day. The hallway is about like his hand right here to that wall. When I was there, it's like as wide as this room right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big.
Stuff does that. You got to smile.
That's exactly right.
Well, yeah. Tell us about the life at that new school and the lunch lady and the piano and several things. They're all about what went on at Manchester Elementary.
Well, we didn't have to take our lunch there. We got to go to the lunchroom.
Mm-hmm.
20 cents a day.
Miss Price was the manager, and I remember that when we would all get in the lunchroom, we would say the little prayer, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for his food. And I remember the old piano sitting in there, and that's the one that's in the museum right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a big change, wasn't it?
Big change.
And we had different teachers.
Yeah.
What I remember probably the most was Miss Hurd.
Viola Hurd. Who was
Florence
Hurd.
And there was, in the eighth grade, there was 50-something of us in the eighth grade.
Really?
Yes. And she never spanked the whole year. I think she pulled an ear or something.
School of Frank is her.
And that was Miss Hurd?
Yes. Yeah.
Who was some of the other teachers there?
Miss Baker, Mr. Reed. We had him 2 years, didn't we? Fifth and sixth.
Willie
and
Cornett.
Wilfie Langdon in the fourth grade.
Willie Cornett.
Willie Cornett.
I didn't have Willie Cornett.
No, he had the six. We was on the stage at six.
Yeah. Mr. Reed was the coach, so they gave him the smaller class. Because when he'd have to, a game or something, his class would have to go.
So that, in that little red brick building where the sixth grade was, it's like peeled us off, about, I don't know, that might have been 20 of us on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Over in the main building.
Yeah.
Now the lady with the piano, did she play the piano?
No,
Ms. Price. I noticed she didn't play it.
What, no. Was just sitting there?
Yeah, just sitting there.
Let's see. Another first memory, I don't know if brother remembers this or not. We went to see great grandma.
Yeah.
Back in the old country.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember distinctly some things that day. We had
she was going on 103.
103?
And she took her bed to die.
Uh-huh.
And we went to see her.
And Grandpa wanted to go see her. So.
Where was the old country?
Knott County.
Knott County.
Carr Creek,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two families that went. Of course, Grandma rode with the other.
Uncle Edgar.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Kel. And Grandpa rode with us.
And you all went over, and she had taken her bed.
Yeah. We were in a 48 Hudson coupe.
48 Hudson.
New.
That was one of my questions, was going to be, what was your all's first family car?
48 Hudson coupe.
48.
Now, you all walked to school. When did you get that vehicle?
About 1948, put it in the garage and let it sit.
Yeah.
Well.
And let's see, what else can we do? We played marbles. The backyard was just dirt, so that was easy to...
Mother swept marbles. The backyard once.
Swept it?
Yeah. A lot of people swept the backyard in the fight.
Brother was always building stuff. And I remember at one point he built a car. I don't know where he got the lumber and stuff, but...
There's always nails and a hammer and pieces of lumber laying around the house.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah.
Well, did you have any music in the house to listen to? How else did you pass the time?
Grand Ole Opry on Saturday night.
And we played a lot of rummy. Then we listened to shows on the radio.
Yeah, that's all good about that, yeah.
Let's see. Gene Autry and...
Tarzan.
Tarzan on the radio?
Yeah.
Mystery or
Crime. Gangbusters Step In.
Gangbusters.
And, there was always something to do.
Well, before we move off from your childhood, I want each of you to tell me what your favorite childhood memory is.
Probably the Christmases. Because Daddy made it really special. He would go out and make the tracks in the snow and stomp through the house. We always had to go to the bedroom.
And hide. Behind the bed.
Yeah.
Couldn't see you.
Till Santa Claus came. and then left.
Till he came and left.
Yeah.
And was gone.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thrill, but we still believe Santa Claus. What did you get for Christmas? What did I get for Christmas? I always got a doll and probably a tea set, things like that. And he always got a cap pistol. And one year he got the bicycle, but he was to let me ride it too. Of course, mm-hmm. It was a boy's bicycle. And we started riding it through the house that night. The house was long and you'd go from one room to the other. The next morning we went out in the yard. Remember where we learned to come off that little bank?
Mm-hmm.
We ride it.
Stand up on the seat.
And there was a path around the house. Because we'd go around and around.
What about you? What was your favorite memory?
About the same, sir.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start with you. What did you think that you wanted to do in life when you were growing up? And then what did you do later on?
I just really didn't think about it. you know. When I got big enough to work a little bit,
I wanted to be a ballerina.
You wanted to be a ballerina?
Yes, I walked around on my toes all the time and had a poster bed, and I could throw my leg over that post. I wanted to be a ballerina. Then at one point, I wanted to be an airline stewardess. Then I wanted to be a baby nurse.
An airline stewardess?
Yes.
Where did you see, so how did you come up with airline stewardess?
I don't know. I saw it somewhere, and I just thought that would be exciting.
Not me, I tried to fly.
How do you all think, one, the other, whoever wants to start, that growing up in Appalachia was different than any other place that you could have grown up? What was different?
Well, we were free. We'd leave in the morning and Mother wouldn't hear from us till late because we'd be in the barn playing, building playhouses, riding the pony, just being creative, doing our thing.
Yeah.
And didn't lock the doors. I mean, you weren't afraid or anything. And I would imagine in the cities, it was quite different. It was crowded, and you probably weren't as free as we were in the rural areas.
Well, you couldn't say now what the life we live then. You can't do the life we live now because of the way the other people are, drugs, now that's just going on now. See, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work with us.
But back then, there wasn't.
There wasn't no drugs. Right. All they had was a bootlegger selling alcohol, which they'd done for centuries.
But there wasn't near as many people like passing your house back then as there are today.
You didn't have people out of their head on drugs.
Yeah.
You meeting them on the road stuff, see?
Yeah.
There wasn't none of that stuff going on.
Yeah.
You remember the time that we went to, I think Daddy was buying a farm or had bought some land or something out, Little Goose. So we took a trip out there. Mother and Daddy and us and maybe Russell and
it might have been Russell.
Yeah. And we had to walk up this hollow. And we got up there, and what did we walk up on? A steel.
Really?
Moonshine steel.
Mother said, moonshine steel. Daddy said, let's get out of here. We left.
So we got out of there. And of course, as a child, I was petrified. You know, we were scared to death.
Yeah.
And Daddy warned us, don't dare tell it when you get to school. Don't say a word.
Uh-huh. Did you all say anything?
No.
You didn't say anything either?
Uh-uh.
No.
And of course, he knew who it was.
Well, he knew who it was.
They were
probably, he bought the place and it was on it when he got there. Went up to check it out.
That was a, and then another scary time was we went to, speaking of the first movie, remember the first movie we saw?
Trail of the Lonesome Pine.
We went downtown and saw it. And Brother cried in the movie when the little boy was in the bulldozer and he got killed.
Steam shovel on a railroad track.
Yeah. Steam shovel, we called it.
Yep. It was a steam shovel. It was a steam shovel.
Steam shovel.
It used to be steam.
Yeah.
And you know, shovels.
Big,
He was on playing in it, and they blew it up, and it fell. That's when the little boy got killed.
Yeah.
And that was your first movie experience.
Yeah. First movie. I don't know, how come we went to see it? Do you? I don't remember going.
We all went. We went.
It doesn't sound like a very happy movie experience.
Oh, cried and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Where did you go to see the movie?
Downtown.
Just right where it is right now.
The theater.
What was the name of it?
Manchester Theater.
Manchester Theater.
Yeah.
What was some other places downtown that you all remember? Some of the stores or the hangout places.
Maybe
the
that roost. Aren't there now.
Yeah, the Roost.
The Roost. That's where the guy pulled in there with the big hog that time, and they got to talk about how much he weighed, arguing about it.
Yeah.
And one of them got mad and pulled a gun and shot one guy. And went up. He went up there behind the post, behind the bank, and where the old movie house is up in there. Uh-huh. And he had the law down here shooting up at him, and him shooting back down at them over the hog now.
Yeah.
So one of his, Miss Little's husband. Mm-hmm. Goes in and ice the bank, which is a 38 special, and he go out the back door and shoot that guy in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
So we never did find out how much the hog weighed.
No, he's big enough.
It was a big.
Well, it's worth
I heard that tale, Board Wolf. Yeah. At the Roost. The Roost was a gas station.
Oh, it was a gas station.
Yeah.
It was a tan brick with a red roof.
Mm-hmm. Right there where the drive-thru on the old town bank is. It's just right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did Loretta's daddy run that all the time?
He had it later on, yeah, he had it for years. Sold ice cream stuff there.
And that's where, when we were in grade school, that's where you could get good ice cream.
What about some of the dancing places? We have heard a lot of that.
Well, I don't know, we weren't old enough to do any dancing.
We didn't, what was the name of it?
Tavern.
The Tavern. I remember my mother went in there to eat one day. And I was sitting at the bar there and I was fooling around. Put my hands on here like this. On here like this, I think.
Yeah.
They were 5,000 packed pieces of chewing gum stuck up on there.
Uh-huh.
On that table.
I remember that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, something I was going to tell a while ago, and I lost my train of thought. When we walked up the railroad to go to Ad School, the train, invariably, either going or walking home, here'd come the train. And it wasn't a steam, from the steam, it was coal.
Well, the coal heated the water, made the steam.
Okay.
Made it run, yeah.
Yeah.
And it would, a lot of times they'd pull three, trains a day out of Horse Creek. Horse Creek was a big coal producer. I forgot how many mines was up there at one time, working. And there's a lot of coal back then, going out now, you know, wasn't over 100 units with a smaller car or anything. But then they, way in the night sometimes, we'd be up there in the house asleep as far from here to the road with a train. We never wake up.
We got used to it.
Yeah.
It didn't wake us up. It made all kinds of noise. Sometimes they'd have to sand his tracks. His spin couldn't take off. And they'd stand the tracks. Ooh, like that when they do that. Black smoke or roller. That was the good old days, though.
And
you could smell that smoke. Had a cold smell to it.
Yeah. And she'd have to corral us off, you know, off the tracks and everything. When the train
goes by. Get off the track.
And the soot. Somebody would get soot in their eyes.
Yeah.
You could feel it hitting you in the head then with us.
Yeah. Because you didn't have, you couldn't go far because that. You
well, this is where the school old, was? It was that
railroad
close.
Track.
On
yeah.
the way to school.
That's what I mean, the
yeah.
railroad track.
Well, you had to kind of go up the hill after you got to get up there.
Okay.
Hold up the hill a little farther where the track, well, you remember where the track is right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's up on the hill up there. There was three big trees up there. We eat dinner on the trees when it's sunshine.
Mm.
Yeah. And we played in the sagebrush field.
Yeah. It was about, I'd say, at the time we was playing in it, I would think probably a half an acre if I was looking at it now. But when I went back years later,
it wasn't big.
It wasn't big, just room. Mm-hmm. Still, the whole field was big, just room. I talked about that a while ago, you know, talk about still how stuff changes size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we used to. We had a big time in the sage field. What was sage guys? What was?
Well, did you all ever ride the train anywhere?
I never
did.
Get a little hell out a little bit. I have.
You did?
A little bit.
I didn't.
I did.
Where did you ride it to?
Well, just hold a little bit down the tracker.
Oh.
Keep going slow, you know.
Yeah.
Not many times, but I've got a hold of it. Couldn't stand it.
Had to.
Them other boys do it. Yeah, had to.
Well, did you have any other jobs before you were a teacher?
Yeah, I worked in the store.
The store.
That just...
Every Saturday.
What you meant was, did she have a job up punching in, working for
you? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, no. We just played around the store.
And, we didn't play around.
We
were.
I don't know about you.
We had stock.
Well, what about, speaking of the store, when tell us about when the water got up and what happened, what you had to do with the stuff that was there, what the government came in and you had to do.
Well, we remember the 47 flood.
Okay.
We were on that hill surrounded by water. And the neighbors had to come and stay with us.
Out of the water.
Yeah, to get out of the water. I remember a lot about that, seeing the chicken houses floating down with the chicken.
See a plank coming down, two or three chickens standing on it. It just goes like that, right there, swift water. I don't know where the chickens ever went to. I'm sure if they got close to a tree, they flew up and got on the tree.
Let's hope so.
And that's when that we had to go and take typhoid shots, wasn't it?
Yep. They tore the building down and took the shots in.
Yeah.
On Bridge Street.
What about the lard? Did they do something?
Oh, yeah. This was in the 57 flood.
Took the lid off, poured bleach or something in.
You couldn't
shoe polish.
Sell it anymore.
Or chew polish.
Like a jar of syrup. Take the lid off, put something in it so you couldn't sell it.
You could sell canned stuff, but the labels had to be taken
away,
off,
you know,
and dipped in bleach and so on, and you could sell them at a reduced price.
Well, see, a standard lard wasn't about $3.95 at that time.
Yeah.
But
that's a day's work.
We put stuff up and thought it sure wouldn't get up to that shelf, you know, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
Like we stacked the flyer.
Yeah.
It got wet in the bottom and turned the whole thing over.
Oh, my gosh. So you just lost everything.
Yeah. All that paper, all purina feed, and then that paper's up, shoveled right the back door. Yeah. Then we have moved the store out, put it in trucks, and take it to dry ground, park them.
Yeah.
And the water not come in, go back down.
Yeah.
We have done that.
In the 60s.
Yeah. I mean, I was home in Uncle Sam's Army. I had to move the store out. So I headed back the next day when they started putting it back in. I headed back to Arkansas. Remember that? That'd been about 60. 62, probably 61, 67.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Working in a grocery store is a hard road. It ain't easy. You're continuously. You can never get done. You're either stocking it back up or you're emptying it back out. One way. Continuously. Day in, day out.
Well, people nowadays are messy. Were they quite so messy back then? Do you have to put stuff back in the right place and...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I don't say, yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
They get it and think, well, I don't want to sit somewhere else.
Yeah.
Even
if it's frozen, maybe thawed. You'd be thawed and ruined. Yeah, lose that. Yeah.
Stuff you used to have to put on the floor and...
Red Dog, they call it Red Dog.
Yeah.
He don't know about it. He probably never seen Red Dog in his life.
No.
they
keep the dust down.
They use Red Dog at the store downtown.
Concrete floor, I don't care how you clean it. If you don't put a sealer on it, it'll be dusty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little fine.
Yeah.
We'd scatter that Red Dog down and keep that dust down.
Mm-hmm.
You could dust it today. If you didn't have Red Dog down and a few trucks go up down the road and you go back and write your name on it the next day. That's how bad dust was in the store once.
When people came to the store, this started about downtown, cash store, they'd walk up to a salesperson and they'd say, I want a can of coffee. Well, you'd have to go over there and grind it. Bring that back. I want a can of baking powder. They'd have to go get it, bring it back.
And write it down.
Yeah.
And write it down, yeah. how much, you know. And Daddy never closed the store. There was no time to close. Like, you know, 5 o'clock, He stayed till everybody quit coming. He stayed till everybody came, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, did you keep a tab for people? How'd they pay? Or did some people have money?
It was cash.
Mm. Mostly cash.
Yeah.
Before we left Hymer, a lot of lose. If you're going to run accounts, you're going to lose a certain percentage of it. All you can do is kind of hold your percentage down. Oh, that goes with you. Everybody ain't going to pay you. Somebody will die, or somebody move off.
Yeah.
And own that way.
Hard luck.
Yeah, hard luck stuff, yeah.
But when he moved to town, he said...
Cash and carry.
But if some good customer was having a bad time, he'd loan them money. He'd pay for it.
Or he'd fill up two or three boxes of groceries and take it to him.
Yeah.
He'd been known to do that. Maybe when he get damn sick, the daddy, a big family.
Yeah.
He feed him. Our daddy was very
generous.
Kind-hearted.
Yeah.
He was.
And mother too.
Yeah.
And they used to
mother go. Mother more than daddy.
Huh?
Mother more than daddy.
Right. They used to go to Harlan or Hazard and buy.
Lard.
Harlan. And meat and bring it back to the store, and people would be lined up. This is like during the war, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get lard. And they'd be waiting to buy it as soon as they got back. The fresh meat and the lard. One of the customers, when he was at Hymer, he said, we don't have a speck of grease in the house. Would you have any? So he told the guy, you go to my house and tell her, my wife, to hide it. So when he came, it came in a box. My mother hived it and gave him hive.
Was that during... not the Depression, but...
World War II.
World War II, yeah.
Things like that was hard to come by, you know.
We had an uncle. And in World War II, if you go to Baltimore and work in the shipyards, same thing as going to the Army. The war effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so him and his brother went up there, and they got him out of a job working. And he got to drinking. He got to drinking and come home. Next thing done, he walked plumb across Germany. World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I can remember.
Had it made, but he ended up, couldn't stand it.
I can remember him coming to eat with us one night in uniform. I don't know if he was just home on leave or what.
I don't remember that, but I remember.
Well, I want to hear at least one, maybe your favorite teach and tell.
Teach and tell. I don't know.
Don't sound like she enjoyed teaching very much.
No, she's got it. I think she has plenty.
Okay. My second year of teaching, I was moved to Horse Creek. And there was 3 fourth grades. And... Lucy H., Ruby Lois, and myself. Well, these two boys, one of them's still living, by the way, and I saw him not too long ago. They played hooky all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Lucy had them 1 year, and they played hooky so much that she didn't pass them. Next year, Ruby Lois had them, and they played hooky so much that she didn't pass them. So then they said that I had to take them. So they played hooky. So when they came back, I said, okay, boys, you're going to live with me. Whole school day. So I took them with me. They had to stay with me at recess. They had to eat with me at lunch. They never got to go out. and the same thing for evening recess. That went on for several days, and you know, they never played a hook anymore.
Well, they couldn't leave your sight.
They never played hooky anymore, but they were, they caught a field mouse and brought it in and turned it loose in the classroom. But they were two students that I'll never forget, but I just loved them. They were...
No matter how much trouble they gave you.
But I was so proud of the fact that I was able to get them to quit playing hooky.
All right. I'm going to start off. I'm going to ask you both the same few sets of questions. I'm going to start out with you. Tell us one thing that you're the most proud of in your life.
Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you?
My family, my girls.
What has been some of your greatest accomplishments in life? We'll start with you.
Teaching and people like Alta Blair, who put me in leadership, pushed me into leadership roles, and I was able to utilize those later in life. And of course, going to school and teaching or an education 33 point something years.
Now you.
I guess trying to live for the Lord.
You do a lot of volunteer work. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Well, I got caught into that. I ain't planning on doing that.
Huh? Okay, we thought you were a good person, but now, oh, wait a minute, I caught into it.
Listen, we was bringing it, we was going to get it back. We left the church up there, the church split.
Yeah.
So, we met the ones, the scabs, I guess, that left. We were down at the down on Beach Creek at the pool house down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we met. And Linda Barker said, listen, said, we ought to have something. Said, maybe they'll give us the food pantry.
Yeah.
So I know the pastor good. Said, you should not get it. Well, I went to see him. I said, well, here's the deal about this here now. I said, they want something, and you know, we're leaving with nothing. And they want something. They said they want, you know, and he said, well, said, I tell you what. He said, I'll give you the food pantry, but won't give you the senior citizens. Mm-hmm. That's a real deal, senior citizens. And so I said, well, now that may not work because they're thinking about signing up to Rock. They didn't pay no name.
Oh, so that.
And he said, okay, I hope he don't listen to this.
Probably not.
But anyway, here we go. We loaded all the stuff, the food we had, you know. And we took it down there and put it, it just so happened where we left, it was ready again, moved right straight in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get a 501c, you know, before you could do that stuff. So most of the time it'd take a year to get that. We had that in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So everything worked perfect. But here I was. What are you doing?
Stuck.
What are you doing? So, Sherry, since she was in the bus, and I said, you'll have to do this, Sherry. No, I can't do that. Yeah, you have to. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But I have to help her, and I can't get away.
Well, so now
I feel like a dog will live now.
Yeah. You've been doing it for how long?
Over 12 years.
Well, there you go.
Well, you help a lot of people,
yeah,
but it takes up time.
It takes time, yeah. Yes, sir.
But that's something that you can be proud of.
I am proud of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of my
mission.
Deal, that's right.
Well, you can be proud of something and still and still get a little tired.
Yeah, well, you know, you get tired. It's, well, if I had to do it 5 days a week, I don't probably couldn't do it.
Do you do, how many days did you do it?
Three.
Now? 3 days a week.
Three days a week. Mm-hmm. And they have to have me drive the truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's every Monday, mm-hmm. you know. And I told Sherry, I said, I'll tell you what you better do. I said, you better kind of, you know, put you some plans out there. Because I've started falling apart, you know, and hurt my arm the other day. But I milked it for all I could get out of it. I said, well, I can't do that to hurt my arm.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's hard, hard to get volunteers to help you.
Well, listen, right. But it turns out that the church I'm going to, this little church, the Remnant Bread, I'm the president.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one out of the church, our church up there. They don't have anybody's help.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got all five of the guys that does it are from up on the Heap Church.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is the only one from Remnant that does that. Of course, I'm from Remnant, but I go to church up there.
Yeah,
right.
But anyway, that's the same thing. That's the same thing, feeding the people the word and feeding them food. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yes.
I believe I have to do something like that.
Right. Well, that's just meant to be.
I'm all right with it.
Just every once in a while.
Just push Sherry out there in the limelight.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
There you go. Well, what are some of the important lessons that you've both learned in your life? We'll start with you.
To always tell the truth. And to be honest, teach people, or to be respectful. That's some of the lessons I've learned.
You
treat people like you want to treat them. You want to be treated.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That will go a long way.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll start with you this time. How has your life been different than you thought it would be? And in that, is there anything that you know, if you could go back, you would change?
Big time change. Don't go back. Yep.
How's it been different than what you thought, you know, when you were a teenager, say? Or,
well, I just thought, you know, that when you got married, started raising a family, everything, you know, just blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not so.
Mm-hmm.
Not so. No.
Mm-hmm. Seemed easy back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Life happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it.
Something I would change would be I would follow Dr. Mays from Union, follow his advice. He wanted me to further my education. But it meant going to Knoxville, UT. And I couldn't do that. But now, see, people are furthering their education at Cumberland or Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Online, even.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a good one. Give me, you can just say one thing. This can be a decade. What would you say is the best time or decade, however you want to say it, of your life?
I would say the 50s.
I'm going to say the 60s.
50s and 60s.
Just to be different from her?
No.
Oh, okay.
You like the 60s
better. The 50s was a great time to be growing up.
So you would have been in high school?
Yeah.
And later?
Yeah.
What was good for you with the 60s?
I had a driver's license. A lot of things are better than 60s.
You had a nice car.
I had a nice car. I didn't even have a car. I had a bicycle. I had nice cars.
Yeah, car, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
I remember that first car back then they didn't buy the girls a car. Mm-hmm. They bought the boys a car. And when he got his license, daddy bought him, it wasn't a new car. But he bought him wheels. And I think the first weekend that he had it.
It wasn't the first weekend.
Could have been the second.
I tore it up a little later on.
Yeah.
Were you racing it?
I might have.
Possibly.
Perhaps.
Okay, since I know Peyton wants to ask this, he asks it most of the time, and probably more to him, but you can answer as well. What would you say is your favorite make and model of car?
Favorite make and model of car? Mm-hmm. Probably 57 Chevrolet.
Do you have?
The 56 or 57 Chevrolet.
Oh my gosh.
See, that car, that first car, I fooled it around for a while and tore it up and fixed it back and I painted it and all this stuff. And the next thing I know, Daddy traded it to a red 61 brand new Impala.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it. I was going to see Bennett with it.
Mm-hmm.
She admired it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to Army, what'd he do with that car? Give it to
So it really wasn't your car. It went to her.
She got the car. Did you?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that red car? Don't tell me you don't remember that.
Union. Oh, okay. And I didn't have driver's license.
She got the license. It's a standard shift. She drove it. She drove to school. They kept a little while though, and they traded into a big 63, blue 63.
Was it an Impala's too?
We didn't get lower than Impala.
Oh, so everything was an Impala.
You can't come back once you get to Impala.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
Now, I think you asked some people, what about vacation?
Uh-huh, Alan.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. Give us some vacations you all have.
Well, growing up, what are you talking about vacation? There was no vacation.
Okay.
All right, well.
But well, vacation was from time school stopped to time school started. That is the vacation.
When are you going?
You have to go to school.
Yeah.
Getting to run around and play.
Huh?
Getting to run around and
play.
Yeah,
you were, you know, swim, walk, play around.
But this one particular time, I don't remember what time of year it was. I guess it was, we weren't in school. We went to see Uncle Jim, Mama Brock's brother, who lived in East Point, Georgia. And Mother and Daddy and brother and myself and Mama Brock. And she was about to back out because she didn't want to leave JW.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't go. So here we go. I think we went on a Sunday and came back Wednesday.
98 green new Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
The first car after the 48 Hudson.
Okay. It was a what year?
A 50 mark.
A 50.
A 98 old. That's the biggest number.
Okay.
And we went out to the airport.
We set the house watching. That's when it had them big gas motor.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be four motors on them thing. Coming up over East Point. I'd like to go back there. I bet that house still there.
Might be.
Well, you all were intrigued with that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was. And there was trouble with that car, though. Remember, it stopped at a caution light or something, and Uncle Jim was driving.
Driving in Atlanta, and Uncle Jim didn't know a lot more. He'd been living there 40 years.
And he couldn't drive the car.
Coming back.
Uncle Jim drove from Florida down there to home when he was 92, his last trip. You remember that? You probably remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Coming back, there was a sign on the road. Pups for sale.
Bulldog pups.
Oh, we wanted a bulldog. So, Daddy stops, turns around, goes back, and buys him one. Coming home, we discovered it had fleas. It was eat up with fleas.
It was also wormy.
And it died a few days after we got home.
No.
It did?
It didn't make it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did the fleas get on you?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Hey.
And another time, you know, and I never understood why that Daddy didn't teach us to swim. Teach me. He had to go off with the Frog Level Bunch and learn. He'd have never learned if he hadn't.
Yeah, I never really learned that mud puddle in front of the house down there.
Knee-deep water, you know. And so one Sunday afternoon, I think it was, Daddy's going to take us down to the river, Goose Creek. We get down there, and he was at a sandbar where they used to cross the river.
Yeah, the shoal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he put one under each arm and waded across the river. Got on the other side and he set us down. And we watched him swim.
down there behind the old CBS building, mm-hmm. It's kind of like a road goes back through there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, years ago, I was told, people coming from Horse Creek.
Yeah.
Come from Horse Creek, yep, into there, or from Lawn or whatever. They would go where that road went right through there like that, and across that field back there, and where he took us swimming, that's where the shoal was. That's where they took the wagons across, down the other side of the river going into Manchester.
Uh-huh. So they'd be on the East Manchester side?
Yeah, across, okay. On the other side, see. Instead of going on down like where we're going, because the water will get close to that hill, probably, and they won't know where the road is right now going into town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down through there. It would probably get too far over there, so it went over here, and you come back across.
And there's a bridge down there, yeah.
That bridge back in those days. But I've always told that, because that has been a road right there.
Mm-hmm.
So right down there is where we went, where the swimming hole was.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all, right, the watching hole for you all.
Yeah.
You didn't get to swim that day anyway.
But we never got to go anymore.
He took us out one time.
One and only.
Yeah.
You almost acted bad.
I guess.
No, that got to big river. It's big. It looked big then.
Yeah.
See, I haven't been down there much. Mm-mm. Yeah. Used to be in the summertime, they'd be lights all up down the creek, people fishing.
Mm-hmm.
They just get 10 big fish down there.
Musky.
Yeah.
What do you think has helped to make you what you are today, or who you are today in your lifetime?
Mother and Daddy, mainly.
I've got to go with the Lord.
Okay.
Hit me.
Okay. Since we want to touch a little bit on this. The country that we're in, we're talking present day now. How do you feel about the state of the country right now?
I feel like the tribulation has started and it ain't gonna get no better.
I think Trump is gonna save us.
Okay.
Is there any advice that you could give to the younger generation of people?
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Stay away from drugs. No matter what, stay away from drugs. If you stay away from drugs, you'll prevail.
Yeah.
But if you get on the drugs, you will never make it.
I agree. And I would say that the crowd you run with has a lot to do with the direction you're going to go.
Try. Before Peyton asks the last question, I want to ask, this is kind of a new thing, if you all can think of something, this is kind of what we wanted this whole podcast to kind of be like, is, you know, how everybody grew up and how Appalachia is different than other places, because people from away from here don't understand Appalachia or the people of Appalachia. And one thing that we wanted to kind of accomplish was some of the sayings, I guess that's the correct word, that we say. and I know off the top of your head, kind of what's a saying that you've heard all your life that somebody maybe that's listening that wouldn't understand what that means? Just something that your parents said or your grandparents said or something that, that is a saying of Appalachia.
I believe it was Grandma Dobson that said, "Upon my word and honor."
That's a good one. I've heard that a lot.
What goes around comes around.
Birds of the same feathers flock together, or something about something like that.
That's it.
Yeah. But yeah, then we thought that would be a nice thing to do, different sayings that people know.
Yeah.
And finally, at your all's age, what is the one thing that makes you the happiest?
One thing makes me the happiest.
Being with my family and watching my great-grandchildren grow up.
Did you ever think you'd make it to this age before we go to Mister here?
Well, I still don't believe I'm 83, you know.
Oh, okay.
You don't feel 83.
I don't feel, in my heart, I don't feel 83.
Do you feel 82 in your heart?
Well, I never thought about it. It's about the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, when I turned 80, I couldn't tell the difference in myself. But in the last 6 months, I can tell the difference, a lot of difference in myself. And, yeah, I felt beginning to feel it.
He's beginning to feel it.
Yeah, beginning to feel it, yeah.
He's turning a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've turned it. Yeah, I have.
So what makes you the happiest at 82?
I guess seeing my family in good health and with a smile on her face, that makes me happy.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, we wanted to thank you both very much for being with us. It's been long, but it's been good. We got a whole lot, and we might just have to sit down and do it again sometime.
Well.
We've enjoyed it.
Are you going to send her check in the mail?
That will be postmarked after the release.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
I enjoyed it. I really did.
Thank everyone so much for listening. And next week, you can hear who these two special interviewees are in the reveal. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you next time.